Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, how are you? If you're enjoying these podcasts, I'm very grateful. If you're telling other people online or in your actual lives about this podcast, then an even bigger, I'm very grateful. And if you can afford to bung me a few quid a month in exchange for cool stuff like outtakes, guest recipes, special episodes, the chance to kill me, and discount tickets to live shows, then please do go to patreon.com/hoovering. The Hoovering Pod. If you're already doing that, my patrons, then you get a I'm very grateful! That was the biggest one I've got. Enough guff. Let's introduce this week's guest. We are in the Canvas Cafe in Shoreditch, a vegan cafe, with one of the queens of podcasting from the mighty Standard Issue. It's the lush Mickey Noonan. Mickey makes me laugh so much I snort. Sorry for that. She teaches us all about furtling, gipping and snack ham. These are real things, they're just northern things. And you have to listen to the end of this one, because it's not until then that we both share a series of stories that one-up each other's stories, and my sweet baby Lady Lord is her winning story at the very end, a doozy. You're in for a treat.
That is the journal fear, and what I've started doing with broadcast, because the thing is when it's written, you can remember enough to still make a piece a lot of the time.
Yes.
But going off and doing interviews now, my nightmare is this hasn't recorded. Yeah. So what I do is I don't check until I desperately need it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to check immediately and find that that hasn't recorded. I just put it back in the machine and ignore it until I have no choice but to find out whether it recorded or not.
Sensible. It feels like when you wear, so we're wearing lapel mics and we're in the Canvas, which is a cafe and creative venue in Dalston.
How creative are you feeling?
I think, to be honest, having set up these lapel mics all by myself. I feel like I've won feminism and I don't need to do anything creative. When I have a day where I've been creative, do you get this? I feel like I have really achieved.
Yeah,
and if I've just been administrative, I feel, oh well, I'm glad that was out of the way.
Yeah, it's definitely like just a tick list of admin, whereas creativity. But
you're
can
like,
we just go
oh
back
man,
to how
I think
you,
I might be a wizard.
How
when
you
you've had a creative day.
Feminism. Sorry, I'm intrigued.
Oh no, I mean,
the only thing that's happened is women have been missing lapel mics.
Yeah.
Is that all we needed?
Yes.
Amazing.
First, we did need the votes, and I won't pretend to have had a hand in that.
But how quick it would have been if they'd had lapel mics before they got the vote?
Oh, I mean, we might not have needed to bother with the vote. If we could be heard in, you know, audibly in slightly noisy cafes, Who gives a shit who's leading us?
Fuck the patriarchy.
Fuck the matriarchy. No, I've ruined it. So we're in this lovely, I mean, it's a trendy wankers vegan cafe, isn't it?
But there's scribbles all over delicious. The wall.
Just scribbles all over the wall. It looks like my bedroom as a child. Do you know what it's reminded me of? In one of my first ever therapy sessions, she would regularly say, "But did you have a happy childhood?" And I'd go, "Yeah, really happy, yeah." And then once she said, probably about 6 months, and she went, "Describe your childhood bedroom for me then." And I was like, "Oh, well, I'd drawn all over the walls. I'd drawn and written all over the walls." And then started to pick off bits of the My Little Pony wallpaper because I hated it, and then like just splashed paint all over it, and then because I was ashamed of how disgusting that looked, and I remember my grandma was very upset the first time she saw what I'd done to my walls, but my parents didn't care. I put Man United posters out of Smash Hits magazine and other band posters all over that, and she was like, "And did you see it? A happy childhood?" And I was like, "Oh
yeah." Then I invented the Slender Man.
Yeah.
That was me. Very creative. I'm fine. Yeah.
Look how fine I am.
The fear that was in my eyes while Jess was telling me that story doesn't really come across on a podcast.
No.
But I've inched closer to the door.
She has sat. Mickey did get here first, and she has sat right by the door. She trusted that this wasn't going to be the most brilliant conversation. Shall I order for us? Because I've got that fizzy tum where okay. I'm really hungry.
Oh, I've got IBS. It's a constant.
Okay, great. Yeah. Constantly hungry. So you're going for Mexican cauliflower steak, sourdough sandwich, and hand-cut sweet potato chips.
Yeah, I wish there was more description in that title,
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, luckily there's a bit more underneath.
Uh-huh.
Marinated and slow-roasted cauliflower steak served with our guacamole, fresh coriander and chili sauce, brackets GF option.
What's GF option mean, food?
Gluten-free.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Shoreditch. Do you need that option?
Nah.
No?
Okay, let's have some delicious gluten.
I love
it's not
gluten.
Good for me, but it is lovely.
I don't know that it's... Oh, is it specifically not good for you because of the aforementioned IBS?
The IBS, yeah. Before mentioned and will be mentioned again, IBS.
Oh, please, bring it on. I want maximum mentioning of the IBS.
Maybe I can take the mini mic into the toilet with me and you can get full disclosure, which is what I call
outtakes
going for a shit.
Outtakes of outtakes. Full disclosure. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast before, but my father-in-law is a military man. I wouldn't call him a humorous man, per se, a very serious and sensible man. Lovely.
Yeah.
But, you know, just really organised and stuff. But he did the most funniest thing I've ever heard. In that we sent him a video of my toddler, Rudy, saying he's just been on the potty. And we were like, "What have you done?" He's like, "I did a wee-wee." And he's bragging about having done a wee on the potty. And I went, "Anything else?" He went, "I did a poo," like that. And it was so funny, sweet video. And Brian, my father-in-law, replied and said, "News from the front and from the back."
Legend. It's very fun.
It's a proper
very
joke.
It's a proper joke. Do you remember that?
Brian, stop being funnier than me. I'm going to get the full English, which is sage and marjoram sausages, tofu scramble, pan-fried potatoes, herb beans, spinach and sourdough toast. And on that note,
bingo bongo.
I'm going to drop the lapel mic and go and go and order it.
It was a breakfast worthy of a lapel mic drop, yeah. So Jess has gone to order our breakfast, and I feel like I've been hot mic'd because she has indeed left me with a lapel mic. Just for, you know, for any knowledge that you might want, I have already spilled coffee down me, which is an excellent start today. Oh, she's coming back. I'm going to stop.
What are you saying? Oh my gosh, they've run out of cauliflower.
What?
I know.
They've run out of cauliflower? Who knew there was a cauliflower shortage?
Shortage. Famous Shoreditch cauliflower drought.
Yep. I bet it was Jack the Ripper. I bet that's who did it. Let's do the jackfruit then.
Yeah.
Shall I read it out?
Jackfruit, please. Yeah, read it out while I find my
Jess is having a fertile, so I'm going to have...
A fertile.
A pulled jackfruit sourdough sandwich and sweet potato chips. And just in case anyone is worried, no pigs were harmed in the making of this gorgeous version of a pulled pork sandwich.
A 5 second rule? Yes or no?
It depends where I am.
Okay.
In my own house. I mean, count as many seconds as you want. If I'm hungry, I'm going to eat it.
Are you a pet owner, though?
I am a pet owner. Yeah. But he lies on my face.
A cat, isn't it?
It is a cat, yeah.
What's his name?
Clarky Cat.
Clarky Cat.
Yeah. Did you ever see Brass Eye?
Yes.
So the drugs episode. And he's like, you got any Clarky Cat? What my cat's named after.
Oh, God! Oh, and so if you ever have another one, you have to call it Cake.
Or Boz Boz. Clarky Cat and Boz Boz.
Clarky Cat and Boz Boz.
Clarky's not going to stand for that.
My favourite. I did love the drugs episode. My favourite was the paedophile special.
So good.
The Julia Davis. The outrage. The outrage when they didn't fancy his kid.
Oh, and also the outrage when you didn't fancy your kid.
Oh, yeah. There's a bit in it where there's a paedophile disguised himself as a school. Moving towards
and
children.
Thought it was a proper documentary.
Exactly. Can you believe that people thought that was a real thing? And Julia Davis in it said, of the paedophile disguised as a school, if you see him, phone us up. We want to catch him because he really is a shit.
But yeah, so Clarky, I guess what you're saying is there is pet hair and stuff around. Yeah, but like I say, he lies on my face and he washes my hair, gives me a little massage.
What?
Yeah.
He puts his paws in your hair as you're washing it.
Yeah.
And this is beautiful.
Every night when I have a wash before bed, because, you know, hygiene, guys, it's important, he sits on the toilet seat and as I put my head down, he gets his paws and gives me like a little head massage and chews my hair a bit.
So I mean, it sounds like you'd probably eat out of his mouth, let alone off his furry...
I don't know that it stand for that.
Really?
There's got to be a line, I think.
That's
Sea Cat would draw it before
you
me, to be honest.
Love a cat too much.
You didn't tell me it was going to be this, like... Unless there might be legal issues. Marry my cat.
I can't remember if you're vegetarian or what your have you got, like, a label what you do and don't eat?
Not for this.
No.
Not a vegetarian.
Omnivorous.
I'm omnivorous.
Yeah.
And I try hard at the moment. I've been trying to cut down my meat consumption.
Right.
But then if I'm angry, I crave meat.
Really? This is fascinating.
And at PMT time, I crave meat.
Meat o'clock.
Your meat o'clock, yeah.
When I was pregnant with my son, I craved meat and I ate meat.
Really?
Craved bloody steaks.
Like proper, like cow.
Yeah,
just
I think
fresh cow.
It's a hormone-led rage and or emotional heightened state.
Yeah, God, what do you do when you're hangry? You can't be hangry for some tofu.
I'm about to eat some scrambled tofu and I'm very excited. I think you can train yourself to be hangry for some tofu. But...
Jessica Postacute is hungry for tofu.
Hungry for tofu, yes. Do you know what, actually, that's so funny. So, I mean, hunger is a real thing, I would argue. Would you be down with that?
Absolutely.
I don't want to eat something that it would feel aggressive or cathartic to eat. I just want to eat during hunger time. And if anything, it's sugar. It's blood sugar. I need some sugar. If I have a nap in the day, I wake up and I think, I'm starving, and it's a big blood sugar dip, even if I nap straight after a whole massive lunch.
Yeah, you wake up immediately craving sugar.
Starving, but specifically for something really sugary.
PMT time.
Yes.
Sugar, salt.
You're making it sound so sweet. PMT time.
Do you think maybe PM Dawn went through all of the times before they decided? What about PMT time? No, it's got other connotations. Oh yeah. Slight tangent. I was having period issues and I needed to go on a different pill. And I was feeling very, very down before my period, like really down a couple of weeks before my period. And I went to a doctor and he was a male doctor. And I said, look, I think stuff needs sorting out. I've suffered from depression before. I think that I've read about the mini pill. Apparently that can really sort of level stuff out. And he said to me, in all seriousness, he said, there is something that some women get before their period. And I was like, oh, really? What? And he went, it's called PMT. And I was like, yeah, no.
Oh, my. Please.
So mentally, I slammed his nuts in a drawer.
He seriously mansplained to you that there's a thing in the universe called PMT.
Yep.
How regularly do you think he's visited by amoebas who've never heard of that?
I know, right?
Like...
Yeah.
Oh,
he wasn't even a locum, he was a proper doctor.
A real life doctor.
A real life doctor.
Did they change it though in the end?
Three Doctors Later.
Three Doctors Later. Let's ask about that then. Do you reckon any pills you've ever been on have affected your appetite and or things that you do or don't want to eat? I suppose if when you're angry you crave meat, then that might cover
but
that.
But it's really, it's sort of processed meat, right. Like snack
sausages.
Ham. Sausages.
What's snack ham?
Just ham that you snack on.
On a luncheon. Oh, would be the second time I've ever used a lapel mic that someone makes me snort.
Just ham that you snack on. Did you think it's there was like a ham section in the refrigerator?
Yeah, I'm no ham genius. I'm not okay. A ham specialist. I thought you maybe it meant a special cut or a type of how it was cured called snack ham. Or perhaps you meant
like Billy sausage.
The square tower of ham in a Lunchable. What's Billy sausage?
You never seen Billy sausage?
No.
It's like a little luncheon meat Billy Bear. And he's Billy Bear sausage. He's in the shape of a bear face. And he has
disgusting.
Yeah.
Brown bits. And
it's
white
got like
bits
different coloured spam.
Right.
To make up his face.
That makes me really.
You did a shiver.
Yeah, I'm not into that. Have you eaten a
but
Billy
he's
Bear?
He's here tonight. Can you imagine? Awkward. If it was a life-size
Billy
Bear.
Billy Bear's a vegan cafe, you're not welcome. A life-size Billy Bear. That makes me sick.
Sorry, Jess.
I'm not a spam.
I used to eat Billy Bear quite a lot.
Would you fry it? Do you just have it? You just eat it cold as a snack.
Snack ham.
I love salt.
So
I'd very happily sometimes just get a packet of ham and eat a packet of ham. Corned beef, would you do that with?
I do like corned beef. I'm northern, so corned beef hash was a big thing growing up.
You said it.
Love a bit of corned beef.
Don't you dare send me the abuse, northerners. The northerner said the northerner was a fan of the tinned meat.
Yeah.
Not this southern.
Absolutely. And when I was little, my mum and I were really poor. Poor as church mice, Mick, is what she used to say. And she went through a phase of she would get like tins that were cheaper because they didn't have any labels on.
Yeah.
So we'd have what she calls surprise tea. So it was just tins without any labels on. But you always knew when it was corned beef.
And anything else, you were happy just to keep the mystery alive until months after.
A pair of edible knickers once.
What?
Yeah, she just pulled them out and she was like,
So aside from labelless tins, talk to me about food growing up.
Yeah, I have quite an odd relationship with food and have always done so. And I think it is because of the way Anne, my mum, would eat. And also I was quite a fat kid and I got really teased for it.
Right.
And so my mum was always on a diet.
Right.
Always on a diet. And also I was a latchkey kid from when I was about 8. Did you bring your violin with you, by the way?
Nothing phases me.
All right, okay, good.
And when you say your mum was always on a diet, did she even need to be?
No.
It's just that thing.
I mean, she's fine
in that
football,
cycle,
but
But just into that, in that cycle of constantly trying the latest.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, she always wanted to be half a stone skinnier than she was. So that's, but I was a latchkey kid as well, so from about 8, I would let myself in.
Right.
And so I think that's where the snacking came in.
I've never heard that phrase before, latchkey
really?
Kid. I was one. I've never heard the phrase. It just means you got your own key,
but
or
you used
a hidden
call
key.
It unwanted. I was an unwanted.
Lonely. I used to brag about it until I was about 15, I'd say. I've just always been very mature. And now you look back and go, lonely.
Yeah, lonely.
Or not lonely, but independent before your time. I spent a lot of time alone. But does that just mean you let yourself in, basically?
Yes.
You walk to school, come back from school, let yourself in, make your own
home.
D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I used to be quite inventive, but I got an incredibly sweet tooth. But I'd be like, I'd get like the, what do I want for my tea? Mum's put something in there, but I'm like, I'm going to have a bit of apple strudel with some whippy cream on it. And then sometimes I'd just make like a jug full of buttercream and eat that.
Yes!
Yeah.
How do you make buttercream?
It's just butter and icing sugar, mate.
Oh, yes!
And then some hard elbow work with a graft.
You've almost earned it, though.
Totally earned it.
By the time
it.
You've made that, you've
it's
earned
it. Negative calories. It's very like celery.
Celery. Buttercream.
My God,
can you imagine if you dipped your celery in the buttercream?
I just was thinking about
it. You've bet you waste away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is... Look at this.
Look at that. That yes. is ridiculous. I've got a mound wow. of food. Yes, please.
Thank you.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Thanks so much.
And Mama, take a picture, please.
Yeah, go for it. Jesus Christ.
This has made me really happy.
Shit.
Say scrum-diddly-umptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum-diddly-umptious.
What did you think about the tofu?
I'm not sure.
No.
It looks like sad egg. I'm not going to lie to you.
It doesn't replace an egg. I think it's very different to an egg.
Yeah. Mm. But why are they trying to do egg-like things with it?
To replace the protein that egg would give you in a fry-up, I assume. But also, why that's lovely, I think, is because it's got stuff in you'd never put in an egg. So there's turmeric in there, and you can see some paprika and some chilli and some chives. Who's bothering that with their eggs?
That's
you
true.
Don't need to, because you've got the lovely creaminess of an egg. Are you an egg fan?
I am an egg fan.
Yeah.
Eggs are basically science that we eat. Edible
Isn't
science.
It clever?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a big baker. I like baking.
Nice.
So eggs are magic, aren't they?
Yeah, they are pretty magic.
As well as delicious.
Well, once I did crack one that had gone off, and that was the worst thing I've ever smelt in my life.
Oh, God.
But I have never smelt a corpse.
Okay, well, it's good to know. Because we were wondering what to do after this, so maybe we can nip somewhere and sort that out.
To be fair, we're in Shoreditch. There's probably a taxidermist that we can go and get a lesson in within 5 steps.
Yeah,
it's all vegan restaurants and taxidermy classes.
Have we seen bad taxidermy?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
It's so funny.
Is that like an Instagram account or something?
There is some, like, hashtags on Instagram.
Brilliant.
Kimmy Pritchard McLean's a big taxidermy fan.
She is, yeah.
So, but she does some of the prime examples of taxidermy gone wrong. She shares.
Perfect.
And it's horrific, yet hilarious. Imagine your much-loved family pet.
Oh, God. Terrifying. I've just put my whole finger in there.
Yeah, well, that's what I did. But it does seem... I mean,
naughty. It seems naughty.
With the five-second rule.
I put my finger in the salt pot. I should explain what I mean.
Yeah. The five-second rule, like I said, in my own house, that's fine.
So you wouldn't eat off the floor in here?
No, mate.
Fair enough.
I think
that's valid.
Would you
I mean, it depends when it was I dropped, if I'm honest. It would depend.
Last mouthful of your favourite bit of your dinner.
Yeah, I'd eat it off the floor.
Okay, fine.
I'd lick it off the floor.
The last mouthful of my favourite bit of my dinner.
Yes. Because I'm likely to also really enjoy that.
That man over there has just dropped something.
No.
Okay. Okay, just seeing where the line was.
I did have a look at him, though, and if he'd looked friendly, I might have said yes.
I think he can hear us. He just put his earphones.
Great, good one. Great one. I mean, if there's one thing people in a cafe love, it's other people talking about them.
Absolutely. So, do you eat off the floor at home?
Yeah, well, it, again, depends what it is, but once it was the last glass of a bottle of port that I was amazing, and it got kicked over and I sucked it out of an ancient rug.
Okay, it's weird that I feel so strange about eating off a cafe floor when I've sniffed poppers off grass.
Have you?
Oh God, we dropped him!
Yep. Fantastic. Do they still work?
Yeah, you get that whole 3 second head rush and a massive headache.
No, it's horrible, right?
Awful.
It's like really intense. There's just a bit much and then it's gone and then it's a headache.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shittest drug of all time.
Yeah, I did them upside down from a bong once. 30 second high, 4 hour headache.
Hello. Just interrupting my own actual self to see if you might like to come, please, to my first ever live show. It's in Manchester at lunchtime on the 6th of October as part of the ManchesterPodcastFestival.com. It's going to be amazing. I've got guests from Bake Off, Coronation Street, and the sick, brilliant serial killer podcast, All Killer, No Filler. Come to it. Bring a picnic. Let's eat and laugh it all up. All the details are online, ManchesterPodcastFestival.com. Thanks. Sorry for being annoying. Here's the podcast back again.
Yum in my tum.
I don't like beans. I was always funny about tomato sauce, ketchup.
Really?
Which is like most kids really love it. And
what
I hate ketchup.
These beans?
Still hate. No, wouldn't eat them.
You wouldn't eat these now.
Do you know what it is? It's not the bean itself. Yeah. It's the bean juice.
Yes, okay.
I couldn't even wash a plate. If bean juice has been on a plate, someone's going to have to rinse that bad boy. It makes me gippy. Mm.
Gippy. Yeah. Tell me what gippy means.
Like I'm going to gip, like I'm going to be sick.
Okay, so gip is gip northern for wretch.
I don't know. It's in my vocabulary, so let's say yes.
Does it mean like to actually be sick or to just do that bit?
Both.
Right.
It's very versatile. Right. Like boking, basically.
Boking?
Yeah.
What's that? That's a red. Boking. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Boking and woking.
So when my mum was around, like, at the weekend, for a treat, because I didn't see her in the week,
yeah.
We go to Asda and we buy a lot of stuff from the deli counter, because that was a new concept when I was little, the deli counter. And then we'd go and put the fire on, put a film on, and we'd have a picnic tea in front of the fire.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm a sharesies person. I'm very much pick and mix eater.
Nice. Excellent. I was too hungry before we started this to concentrate enough on asking you things.
How's it going now?
Too well. I think I might acquire some sauce for these potatoes. Mm,
they look a bit dry, mate.
Yeah. You talked to me about craving meat when you're angry, but have you ever had any other, like, enormous emotional reaction to food? Or has a meal ever given you? Or been memorable? Perhaps emotions is a bit much.
Didn't much to have emotions. No one told me there was going to be emotional chat. I guess the picnics with my mum really stand out as quality time.
That is
with
really
that amazing woman, which is really sweet. Like a brilliant New York cheesecake in New York.
Amazing. Wow.
That was really good. And when I'm sad, which has happened on and off over the course of my life, I kind of go off food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've always had, like, body issues and stuff as well. So it's a thing I can control.
Yeah.
I can control that, whether I eat it or not.
But so there's not... It's not one of the things that you'd go to for comfort, then, in the time of sadness. But because it certain is, you completely things. Shut it off.
No, just certain things, and I'll just sort of... Like, I literally lived on pick and mix for 6 months when I was sad once. That's all I ate.
Really?
I went through a phase of where... I'd have to do 3 exercise classes a day before I'd allow myself a salad sandwich on granary bread. I'm not a monster. And then, like, my food is snacks. Unless I go out and eat a meal, because I live on my own.
Yeah.
I don't have breakfast, dinner and tea.
No.
Although
no,
I like all of them.
But you eat when you're hungry.
But I eat the same. Everything basically comes on a cracker.
Yeah.
I have 6 different varieties of cracker in my cupboard.
Oh, tell me about them.
Yeah. So I've got these, like, rice cakey things, which I quite like, because they're bland. They're just basically a vehicle for butter, which is good.
Or cream cheese, right? We're not into that.
Butter and cream cheese. Oh. Big butter fan. Big butter fan.
Yes, queen.
Love it. Proper butter with salt, sea salt in it.
Crystals sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to pay out. I'm going to shell out for the good stuff there. Oh. It's like crack. It's like dairy crack. And so
my
one of my favourites. Wow. I'll sniff that off the grass.
Yeah.
A really
salty
greasy face.
Off the grass.
So a rice cake, the vehicle, with a thick layer of butter.
Amazing.
Then a layer of peanut butter and then a drizzle of honey.
Fucking yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. So what I'll do when I'm sad is that's all I eat. And so I'll just like, oh, I'm a bit peckish. I need to eat something.
Yeah.
I'll make one of them. And it just becomes like a routine. So it's not that I turn away from comfort food. I just pick one and really go for it.
Yeah. But it keeps it simple, I think, isn't it? There's lots of things that I feel like have come up as being things that I'd never thought about that it's turned out through doing this podcast feel like they're actually quite... common, not universal, but far more common than I'd have expected. And one of those, I think, is the comfort in a reduction of or a complete whittling down of choice, which that sounds like a great example of. Like, not choice, but like if you what you're doing there is taking the stress of decisions on top of everything else that you're going through at certain times. And there's I've spoken to some people who've been like, no, I really.
I would love to have what I have to eat totally prescribed, perhaps by technology in the future. You know,
they
the machine
the
New York. Yeah, but like, I don't know if they meant that they take away the joy of the chewing and the swallowing and the taste, but actually in terms of... So what do you think about this? I think there's... I can't make my mind up whether or not I would like a future, which surely will happen, where there's the technology to know your exact... Not just body, physical requirements, entirely unique to you, I mean, but also in terms of what's going on with mental health, hormones, everything, that gave you exactly what you needed for each meal or for each snack or however it is you want to eat. And that's something I want to say off the back of when you were saying how you eat when you're sad is that's it's arguably a very, very healthy way to eat is to have a small thing every couple of hours.
Yeah.
Not if it's a tiny thing and actually you're starving. But if you are actually meeting your hunger and stopping on your foot, isn't that the fucking dream that the vast majority of people have lost touch with? I mean, obviously, that you'd want a bit more variety in there than the butter, nuts and honey.
Why? I don't see your point.
Minerals and vitamins.
There's minerals in honey, right?
Yeah, it's true. If you balanced a little vitamin tablet tower on top of that cracker mountain, you'd
just have a Barocca for the side.
A Barocca sprinkle, just snort the Barocca up off the grass.
Yeah, yeah. It's the only way I can take drugs now. I have to sprinkle them on some grass and snort them.
But would you like that? Would you like that little choice where someone, I suppose. Yeah, you wouldn't.
No, I shut my head, which is always great for a podcast. No, because. Part of the joy is sometimes I think I know what I want and then I look in the fridge and I go, fucking forgot I had snack, how get in my face.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes I surprise myself by that's easy, that's what I think I want.
Yeah.
And actually the joy is I forgot that I bought that bag of spinach I can just eat like crisps or I bought some crisps that I can just eat like spinach.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so funny, isn't it? Like I think I can't make my mind up about it because obviously, I suppose your answer is just going to be different depending on what's going on with you at the time.
I like that it would be a societal equaliser, because you'd hope if that was the case, then no one would ever go hungry or live in poverty or have to have surprise teas from the food bank or whatever. That's lovely. So I'd say yes for the many, but I think it would take away some of the delight that comes from going, what can I make from this?
Yeah. No, but also, it's going to be it's a creativity vortex. It will be quite. It takes away power from you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's taking away creativity. It's taking away power.
It makes
food.
But
ultimately,
admin.
There'd be no disordered eating, or would there? Because you're constantly because you've switched off all that bits of you that come with choice and stuff. And someone somewhere would have to be deciding what went in that, even if it was an algorithm that was invented by a human. So what if actually what we understand of nutrition changes since that first gets put in? And also, we're always discovering new things that are cooked and new flavour combinations,
and
new foods in the world.
What,
I don't even know if it's definitely a fruit. Delicious.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to boll&branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So Jess has just put ketchup all over her food, and I consider that the devil's period. It's just horrific. I know I'm outnumbered on this, but...
Oh, God, I'm so excited to listen back to this. So excited to listen back to this naughtiness. I wonder what... I better not have been slapping me.
What is it?
Have you ever had a food fight?
Yes. But like quite a safe food fight.
Okay.
As in it was a popcorn fight in a cinema in Canada.
Nice.
Yeah, my mum was dating a Canadian, which was, you know, beautiful.
I thought you were going to say comedian then. I was about to go, no.
No, she left that to me and agreed with your response. I've got a muggle now. He's lovely. But yeah, she thought it'd be really funny to... He'd taken his shoes off, so she filled them with popcorn when he wasn't looking.
What?
And so then he did laugh, and then he tipped them all over her head, and then us kids got involved, and we just had a massive popcorn fight in the cinema.
Brilliant.
It was fun. It was really fun. Possibly not for the other patrons or the people left to clean the cinema.
I think it depends if it was sweet and sticky. If it was salty, I don't think I'd mind a bit of popcorn on me. I've just
will
come
have
back
been
from a
sweet and salty.
Mixed together. Mm. Yeah. There's no other way.
Absolutely. Do you get guilt? Because you say, obviously, that you're vegan-ish.
Yeah.
So you've accepted that you're not fully vegan. Yes, Jess has joined me in the spillage.
I've just dropped a bean right on my tuppence. Bean on the bean.
My mum called one of our cats tuppence, and I got picked on. Picked on royally at school for that. Well, she can't call vagina. Yeah, vagina the cat. Oh, God. Cat called tuppence.
Oh, it's my absolute favourite word for a vagina. Idea of calling a cat it. Superb. I love what we were talking about. Do I feel guilt? So, go on, yeah.
You do?
I'd say, yeah. I mean, I think I've been doing various bits of work on the emotions attached to eating over the last... By work, I mean, I've been having lots of conversations with my therapist and trying to be more connected to what I eat and how I feel when I eat, etc., 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 and trying to...
Sure, goes to for every emotion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every single emotion, including mild relief. But I don't mean it's my go-to...
It's all right, that's what the British do with alcohol. Yeah, just doing
exactly.
It with food.
I know. But it's not... It's... I don't... A part of it also is letting go of diet culture completely, which means, and that is an ongoing battle, to not listen to the voice that I wake up with still most days, that it's very, very hidden under lots and lots of layers. I've quietened it down to a whisper.
But it's fucking
apart
pernicious.
Apart from when I'm in a bad place. Yeah, what the voice when you wake up it goes, if you eat fuck all today, that's a good day.
Absolutely. And it is so, you go, okay, I'm a feminist, I believe women should be able to look however they want, do whatever they want with their bodies. We shouldn't have to conform to this bullshit. Who the fuck came up with the idea of what a beautiful woman looks like or what a woman's body should look like? And yet we are so socially conditioned that I'm always, and I'm a size 10, tall, but always like, I should be skinnier. And like, it's just always there.
I also don't know anyone who doesn't have that dysmorphia, and it is dysmorphia. But like you say, even when you get to the point of your feminism where I regularly look at women in big bodies and think, fit. Mm. Like, honestly, don't have any fat shame left in me for others. I think I have a relatively sensible kind of handle on extremes, I think, in terms of I want people to be well.
Yes.
But I can see real beauty in the tiny and the huge. But I'm on the case. It's better than it's ever been.
Really?
Before. And I can look at myself now at therapy.
Yeah. But what have you discovered in therapy? Basically, how do I not have to pay for therapy?
I will talk about it happily, and I love talking about it, but my only fear is that if anybody's listening
who has any serious disordered eating, or has any disordered eating, that this doesn't count. I am not a qualified therapist. I will from the off say it. I can't fucking recommend talking about it enough in therapy. Anyone who's ever had any issues, it's the fucking best compared to any that. And I've got a personal trainer. What a prick. But who is so cool.
The personal trainer's not the prick.
No, you're I'm the prick for having one.
Okay.
She's a single mum of a 6 and 3 year old, and this is why she's awesome. First ever session with her, I was so nervous, and she went, and bearing in mind she's like an avatar, tall, skinny, stunning, strong, you know. She said, do you want to know how you get a bikini body? And I went, I don't know. She went, put a bikini on, mate.
Can we high 10?
Yeah. High 10.
High 10.
To Rosie, my amazing PT. So I think a mixture of her and also an honest conversation with her where I said, I don't want to do any of the food stuff you'd normally do with someone. I don't want to do food diaries for you. I don't want to talk about protein shakes. I don't want to look at measuring my fat and muscle, this, that, the other. I'm not interested in that, and observing myself in that way. And I know that makes me very, very low when I start monitoring or counting any of this. And I would to try and put it in a succinct, helpful summary of what I've got from therapy, and also from some brilliant other podcasts. There's a podcast called Food Psych that's amazing. There's another one called Life Restricted. And just, in the broadest sense, just try to eat intuitively.
Okay.
So it just means you take more time. Trying to eat ethically is hard, because I wonder whether being veganish, etc., any of those things count as a type of restriction. Of course it does. You're putting some rules around you. So that's one of the reasons why I've loosened the reins on that quite a bit. So say if I really wanted to bake a sandwich, I would have one. Also, I know personally I don't work very well with absolute rules. Like, I couldn't give up smoking. I had to say I'm not smoking today for a few years until I turned out I'd given up, that kind of thing.
Well, that's good that you know yourself well enough to do that. With the food stuff, with wanting to get a really good handle on it, were you wary of that more because Rudy will look to you?
Yeah. Rudy looking to me, but I think actually the real kicker was, if I'm going to do a podcast about eating, you've got to be working on your shit so that you can, I don't know. I feel a responsibility, I suppose, not to be. The idea that I could have I would. Anything that led anyone down a bad, apparently there are podcasts that basically glamorise and glorify disordered eating.
Oh yeah, well that's
and diets
no different.
And all that stuff, and it's
any vehicle for getting your voice out there means that people with a voice that is unhealthy can get their voice out there too.
Yeah.
So there were loads of websites, and there still are loads of websites that are thinspiration.
Fucking.
And they're like photos of. Of people who are ill as goals, hashtag goals. So yeah, I agree that there is a responsibility to talk about food as fun rather than reward and punishment.
But this is it, and I think I do take so much joy from food, and I don't ever want to lose that. I think actually this conversation has made me decide I don't want a machine, even if it means I have to be of imperfect health. The other problem is they got that machine is we'd live forever.
Oh God,
we don't want that.
No,
I don't want to live forever, especially because I've drunk and tried drugs and things. Don't listen, Mary. It's my mother-in-law. My own mum doesn't listen to this, but my mother-in-law listens to everything I do because she's so lovely.
Seriously, if my mum ever learns how to download a podcast, I'm in trouble.
You're lovely about your mum.
I also tell a story. She's a lovely idiot.
Did she already know you sniff poppers off grass?
No, she didn't know that.
Sorry, Anne.
My mum once phoned me about my brother is 11 years younger than me, and she phoned me worried about him at university because he'd had some Pro Plus before an essay, and she thought it was a gateway drug to heroin.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
You
were saying you didn't have loads of wedge when you were growing up, loads of money. So, what's the most budget thing you've ever made? Or is there any like hot tips on a budget?
Okay. So I used to make a thing called student pizza.
Nice.
This is like a higher budget than what I will reveal as my budget.
Okay.
But it's a slice of bread, toast it for a bit, butter if you've got any, but then some tinned tomatoes, and then sprinkle it with cheese, put it all under the grill.
Magic.
And it's delicious.
Pizza but, toast.
Pizza toast, yeah. Student pizza.
Nice.
But budget, just brown sauce sandwiches.
Nice.
Horseradish sauce sandwiches.
Horseradish sandwiches. Yeah. Any butter if you've got it.
If you've got it, yeah.
But if not, have you done that naked?
Yeah.
As in, like, just not fuck me.
Crikey. This has taken a turn.
I mean, what I meant is, have you ever had just horseradish in a sandwich?
Sorry, I just had an image of, you know, there are these restaurants, I'm sure they do exist, where there's just a naked lady with food on and they go and eat on. Imagine it's just me with a bit of horseradish. Slice of bread on each knee.
I love it that of all the body parts naked that you'd cover for the diner, it would be each knee. Fucking muffs and nip out. Oh, don't we?
Well, the
bit of knee is
up there.
A step too far.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to get horseradish.
You don't want horseradish in your lady dentistry. Jesus, no.
My caramba.
No. But just budget. Tomorrow's just out of the tin.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's vitamins and there's at least a little bit of something.
I feel like there's a little bit. Smart is out the tin as well. There's a slap round the face in that, in a nice way. It's so much acid there that it's a little bit of a.
Yeah, wake up.
Come on. It's like a tequila shot of the food world.
Yeah.
Just cold spooned chopped tomatoes.
Yeah, just cold stuff out of tin.
So you
as
hate
well.
Ketchup.
I hate ketchup.
But you like tin tomatoes?
I do love tin tomatoes.
Do you eat a raw tomato?
I love a tomato.
So you love every other form of tomato except in a ketchup form?
Or soup. Or bean juice.
I don't like tomato. Oh God, so is it the addition of a ton of salt and a bit of vinegar? I mean, that's weird. Is what those things are.
I don't know, for me, the ketchup thing, it's actually less about the product than what it does to the lid of the bottle when it gets all congealed. Oh.
Oh my God, actually, just your description there. You
it's horrific. It's like the tail end of a period.
You bocked. What did you bock?
A boked.
You boked.
Yeah, and git.
It's like the tail end of a period.
The surprise
no
bit.
No one is ever... licking the inside lid of a ketchup bottle ever again.
I'm gonna be
sorry. Sorry.
And tomato soup. Do you know what it is? It's kids' fault because babies with soup around their face can do one, mate.
Like
they need to jog
a
on.
Beard.
Yeah, when they have orange that like orange, beard. They look like
what's
tiny
more
evil clowns.
What's more disgusting to you, an orange bearded child or one like my child, where it's a solid? Probably like inch deep moustache of bogies at all times.
No, I have a cat and he is lovely. And I like kids when there's someone else you can give them back. But yeah, kids with food and stuff on their face makes me a bit gippy.
They are gross.
It is gross.
Yeah.
I understand I was probably exactly the same. I wasn't like, certainly wasn't pristine as a kid. I ate sand and mud and all the things you're supposed to.
Some kids are more into that than others though. My friend Sally, her little girl Ellie, we'd had to leave. No, I don't think we had to leave a beach, but maybe we had to move or something. She was 6 months old. She was just spooning it in. Like you would ice cream. Just great fist loads of sand going in. Heaven she was in.
And now, when you have a picnic near sand, and you get one grain of sand in the sandwich, and you do that crunch, and you're like... I'm at the stage where I'm like, is it sand or is it my teeth? I don't know. Put a bit of tooth going. It's not worth the panic.
Not worth the panic. I couldn't agree more. Have you got a favourite nationality of food?
I really love Italian food. I love pasta and pizza. I really do love that, but it does not love me.
IBS.
Pasta's like, no...
You said we'd come back to that, and I feel like we've hardly touched upon your IBS.
Oh, God, it's been the first day in a long time.
Really?
It's not good.
It's a very complicated one, isn't it? Have you ever used any of the IBS apps?
There are apps.
I only know this because Felicity Wars just done a Radio 4 series, and I did the voice of her IBS. I keep my IBS, IBS app. Where they like track, I mean, the apps sound crap.
Right, okay.
It's all stool tracker it has on it.
Stool tracker.
Where you have to describe your turds.
Sounds like a detective. still tracking. I kind of decided, basically there are ways of dealing with it that make it easier to deal with. Mine was stress related when I got it, and now it just reacts to any sort of stress, even if that's excitement, basically it's there. And I could cut out all of the things I love and be miserable, and my tummy would be less explosive. Or I could just deal with it and just know that when I'm excited about something, I'm going to have to get up a bit earlier and literally sort that shit out. Yeah. That's it. That's just what I have to do. My mate got married recently. My full disclosure.
Full disclosure. Full disclosure.
My mate got married earlier in the year, and I was bridesmaid, and it was beautiful. But I had to get up at 6:30 because I knew, because I'd be excited and nervous for her, that I would want the toilet and there were going to be 6 women getting ready. It was fun.
It depends on the 6 women, actually. Like, I've got 2 groups of 6 women, and I'd happily, hands up, be like, guys, see you in 20.
Okay, right, yeah.
Taking a book.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but they were fine with it. Then I nipped to the co-op to get breakfast stuff for everyone, and that's when the rumbling started. And I have, I mean, it's good. It gives me at least a 5-second warning. There's no warning there whatsoever, but I feel it, and I'm like, right. And I'm like, and I got back and I was like, I can't shit myself on Karen's wedding in the co-op. That'd be awful. Mickey, why are you crying all the photos?
What colour was your dress?
Pale pink, mate. Karen, ignoring my request to be bridesmaid in a brown dress.
Oh God, I haven't laughed as much for a while. No offence, Edinburgh Festival.
You don't want to have full disclosure on someone else's wedding day, do you?
You don't. First time I ever did an hour at Edinburgh, the day of the first ever show, I went to went for a swim because I thought, just knew I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And walked around a bit. Hard, couldn't barely eat. And that is, I need to be extremely nervous to not be hungry. And then that afternoon, I think my show was at 6 or 7, but that afternoon I shat myself for the first time ever as an adult.
Luckily, I was still in my flat.
I was walking from my bedroom to the lounge, which had a lot of comedians in that I was sharing a flat with.
Yeah.
Pasco was in there, Josie was in there. And I thought it was fun. And I just diverted straight to the shower, right? It's all fine. But I just thought, thank God no one ever needs to know that. And I've just told, not just now, I ever sit from that evening onwards, I've told everyone I've ever met, I think. I don't know why. I think there's also, it's just really good to hear about when grown-up shit happens.
Yeah, I think it probably happens more than we openly talk about. It's taboo, isn't it?
Quite gendered.
Yeah.
I think it's relatively free. Oh, I mean, in my life, I've got lots of women who are happy to talk about shit themselves.
Yeah.
But as a rule, as a society grows, things where women are socialising to pretend that we don't shit.
We don't even poo. No poos for us. I basically just discharge a pellet once a month. All my waste. I shot myself on a date once.
That's amazing.
Booze is really bad as well. It's really bad because it's all the sugar.
Yeah.
But it was literally the first drink.
No.
And I've been nervous about this day. And I just thought, right, and I've been going to the loo and like coming back and it was fine going to the loo, and I just thought, I need to go. And we were mid-conversation and I foolishly let him finish his sentence. And it was breaking point. And I got to the loo, and on the way to the loo, I just thought, well, I've not made this. Hot, full disclosure. Dripping. It was awful. It was horrific. It was a war zone, right? So, I mop up best I can. And I think, I've not even brought my phone with me. I've just gone to the loo, so I'm like just sat in this pub. My jeans are destroyed. And they're just like, what am I going to do?
What did you do?
So I cleaned up best I could, and then I took my jumper off and tied it around my waist. Yeah. And I wasn't even wearing like a top, I just had a vest underneath, like a proper vest, I'm northern. Just my vest underneath, tied it around, and I walked up to him, and I grabbed my coat and put it on, grabbed my bag, and it was a pub round the corner from my house, luckily. And I just went, I'm so sorry, I'm not very well, I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh no, and then left. I said, I'm sorry, I'll be back in a minute, and then left. And I walked out of the pub and texted him and went, I'm not very well, I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's texting me going, what's happening? What's happening? Date 4 this is, I don't know him particularly.
Oh,
well.
God.
So I go, jump in the shower, clean everything up. Luckily, it was the last of that disclosure, and got redressed, went back to the pub. And of course, what else could I do? I didn't tell him what had happened.
Yeah.
I said why I was poorly, and I was like, look, I've got this thing, it's not very sexy chat.
Yeah.
But I feel you need to know why I just abandoned you in a Yorkshire pub.
Yeah.
And he was very cool about it, but it was awkward for about 5 minutes after that.
5 minutes is nothing.
And then it was fine.
Is that the guy you're with now?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know he knows the full story. I gave him full disclosure about my full disclosure.
Oh, if he listens to this.
It's like Jane Austen, isn't it?
Fourth Dates.
Yeah.
That's a series someone should make. Fourth Dates, where the real shit happens. Literally.
Literally. Literally.
I'm in my time. A panel of four of the most brilliant women in the universe, a scientist, a politician, a detective, and a clown, are in a secret shed discussing a cure for racism. There's a shard of frozen turds from a plane descending on them, unbeknownst to them, and it will kill them all. Not only will racism survive, but can you imagine being shat to death?
Yes.
Anyway, the only
is
way
that the
to
question? No. Yes, I can.
Anyway, the only way to stop it is if you, yes, it has to be you, do 3 hours of rooftop spinning in a heat wave. Just the thought of that makes me feel sick and aroused all at once, but you do it!
Woo!
You're a hero!
Go me! Go me.
You're allowed a shower or whatever it takes to feel like normal and human again. And then your reward is the feast of your dreams. All the answers to this question don't have to be real or possible. You can go back in time. People don't have to be alive. People don't have to be someone you'd ever known reality. But and the same with the foods. It can be entirely imaginary if you want, or something real from memory, whatever. But I want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, but also where and who with.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. It's a tough question. But I think I was very close to my grandma growing up, and because my mum was a single mum and my auntie was also a mum who was struggling, spent a lot of time with my elder cousin, or I'm the elder, but like us two are the oldest, and we're like sisters. So got very close to my grandma. So it'd be at my grandma's, sadly she's no longer with us, and so it would be at my grandma's old council flat in Highton, just because that is a real warm place for me when I think of it. But I'd want all my like family, and by that I also mean my friends who are family, there too. And it would be a Lancashire hot pot. We'd have comfort food, Lancashire hot pot, good bread that's still warm from the bakery, good bread, thick with butter, and a Lancashire hot pot. And
what's in a Lancashire hot pot?
So you can have lamb or beef. It's
right.
Technically supposed to be lamb, but we like a beef one.
Yeah.
And with instead of like mashed potato, you have very thinly sliced potatoes on the top.
Lovely.
You get all crispy.
Oh, yes. And you have chunky root veg in there.
Oh, there's some root veg in there, like loads of gravy. Yeah, and you can dip the bread in. So when you're done, you dip your bread in.
Lush.
What would you drink with that? I want a Ribena with it. I'm sorry, I know that's really boring, but I basically keep that company in business.
Do you like hot Ribena?
I do love hot Ribena. Hot Ribena on an autumnal day after a big walk, kicking leaves.
Oh,
a little tip for you, slice of lemon in it.
Hello. Well, then surely that's quite healthy then as well.
Because it's got a slice of lemon in it. Yeah, counteracts the sugar.
I like hot Ribena if I've got a cold.
Yeah. Oh, my mum, when we had a cold. I think this is budget. She used to tell, she'd boil lemonade.
Horrific.
Boils lemonade with our cure because she couldn't afford medicine.
Oh, that's amazing. Boiled lemonade.
Yeah, it's repulsive. Flat and hot.
Oh, just on its own.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shit.
Yeah.
How funny is that? Whiz kid Mickey Noonan. Thanks, Mickey. Our mums, let alone her boyfriend, are going to have a field day listening to that one. Mickey is funny and brilliant on Twitter, where she's at Mixter Noonan, M-I-C-K. Sternoonan. And more importantly, she's one of the masters in brains over at Standard Issue, the original magazine and now podzine antidote to the bore fest that's usually put out for women. They chat the big stuff with hugely talented and interesting women like Sally Phillips and Dawn French and loads of other mind-blowing heroes. If you haven't already had a listen to that one, I implore you, head over now to acast.com/Standard Issue Podcast, and they're on all the socials as at Standard Issue UK. Follow this podcast if you don't already. It's at The Hoovering Pod on Insta and Twitter, and there's a Facebook page. Rate, review and subscribe, please. 5 stars, please. Apparently, all the reviews so far are 5 stars, thank you. Apart from 1 3-star review, and where they're meant to write their review, it just says test. Dicks. Counter that, please, with more 5 starses. Come to the first ever live show. It's lunchtime on the 6th of October at the Union Theatre in the University at Manchester. Go to manchesterpodcastfestival.com. And if you're in London, come to my Honus Club New Material Nights in Camden. Giant, brilliant comedians and me all working up our new material for £3 in advance or a fiver on the door. But it's usually sold out quite fast, so do the £3 in advance. I'm on all the socials at Jessica Fostercue, and you can email me through my website, jessicafostercue.com. And one last shout out to my patrons, and extra thank you to you. You are my life. Hoovering's produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.